If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Anthony in Tinton Falls. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, how are you guys? How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. What's up?
Just a quick question. What are your thoughts on, I believe it was 2:50 left in the fourth, and they started fouling Mitch. What are your guys' thoughts on that, about the Knicks getting the bonus, or potentially, you know, getting close to it and then bringing in OG?
Well, listen, this is what I was saying earlier this morning, and this is why sometimes it sounds redundant when we talk about things. This is where Tibbs played the game right. Mm-hmm. They were going to foul Mitchell Robinson, try to get the Knicks into the bonus, and then he took them off the court, which was to me, that's the coach having a direct impact on a game, making decisions by obviously doing the right substitutions. I mean, he threw up an air bolt last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly. But Mazzulla said what he wanted to do was that. Like, he was fine with Mitch going off the court because Mitch was a plus 19, whatever
that,
it was.
And that's what they were trying to do.
That's what they said, yeah.
They were trying to get him off the court because they knew that Tibbs was going to react the way that he did.
Yeah, I mean, which is, I don't know. I mean, they also wish that he had stayed out there so they could foul him and then put him on the line when they were in the bonus. I'm sure they wanted that, but Mazzulla said he knew what he was doing, and all their starters were minus players last night for the Knicks, and Mitchell Robinson was not. But yeah, Tibbs reacted to it perfectly, and the team, you know, it's about putting the guys in the right spots and about the guys executing, and they did.
And he had to get them off the court, and you know, the way the thing worked out and the timing and who was getting fouled and whether you could actually substitute as opposed to having guys stuck there not getting in like in the Detroit series. This worked out for Tibbs.
Melissa in Nassau County. What's going on, Melissa?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks, Melissa. What's up?
So I just wanted to call and ask your opinion on something. So my dad is a big Knick Mets Islanders fan. And since the 90s, he refuses to watch anything but the fourth quarter. He says he chased the Knicks through the 90s, and he won't put them on until it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, in basketball, that is something you can do. I mean, if you did that with the Thunder game last night, you would have shut it right off because they, in the fourth quarter, they were up by 30-something and ended up winning by 40-something. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those sports. Like in the NFL, the biggest play could happen in the first quarter. In Major League Baseball, the biggest play could happen in the first inning. In basketball, generally, the biggest play does not happen early on in the game. And when you have games as close as we've seen the Knicks play this year, you could have put it on in the fourth quarter and seen everything you needed to see.
Yeah, so maybe he was watching Fox News or something, then he turned it on to the fourth quarter, whatever. But for me, anyway, in these playoff games, you got to watch the whole game. And the reason you got to watch the whole game, you got to get the feel of the game. You got to understand what is happening and how the game is developing. And, you know, for the last two games, if you watch the Knicks and they get down 20, and there was a point in game one where you were saying that you were very close to turning the TV off.
Yeah, I was, yep.
But you didn't.
No.
And you lived through that entire game. If you had turned the game off, you wouldn't be able to have the payoff at the end of it.
That's right.
And the payoff is the great feeling you have that your team just came back and did something that you didn't expect. So that's why you watch the whole game. To me, I understand why people would say, "Hey, all you need to do is watch the last 5 minutes," but then you don't get the feel of the entire game.
Well, if you watch the fourth quarter last night, you got a feel because they were still down 16 at one point in that fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean you turned the game off.
You wouldn't have seen Cat in the first half doing what he did, which is what you wanted him to do.
Yeah. Listen, I don't.
You wouldn't have known that Mikal Bridges didn't score any points for the first three quarters of this game.
Right. For us, watching the whole game is imperative. For Melissa Nassau County's dad, he can do whatever he wants.
Yes, you can. But I'm just saying the reason that I would watch the whole game is just to really get the true emotional roller coaster feeling of the game.
Gerald in Queens. What's going on, Gerald?
Yes. The Knicks, they got two games. But they got to be careful still. Because when every team that play in the Garden, the Knicks lose in the Garden.
Yeah, they have not been good at home in the playoffs this year, that is for sure. But I don't think anybody, at least we aren't, celebrating a series victory.
Yeah, nobody's celebrating. Everybody's just sitting and talking about, giving credit to the players that deserve it.
Traditionally, the Knicks always lose in the Garden. The Garden is a bad place to play.
It's the Mecca of basketball, Gerald.
Yeah, it is, but the Knicks normally lose in the Garden.
But Gerald is the Mecca of basketball. Maybe for other teams, maybe not for the Knicks.
And you're talking about Madison Square Garden, not TD Bank Garden, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Madison Square Garden.
That's the Mecca of basketball.
I understand. I just want to make sure he's...
Mike played there. What happens in the Garden?
Yeah.
Like, you hear it. Y'all was talking about Charles Smith when Scottie Pippen blocked them shots.
Why are we bringing that up? Why are you bringing that up now today, Gerald?
No, I'm just saying the Garden is. I think the Knicks is cursed, but they can beat Boston. They can beat Boston, but
the Knicks are cursed in the Garden. Why are you bringing that up today?
The Knicks is cursed. Period.
Why?
Because they ain't win in a long time.
So every team that hasn't won in a long time has a curse on them.
I mean, as far as the Knicks goes,
Gerald. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you like this current Knick team? Do you like the way that they play, the way that they go out there? Nobody takes a night off. Everybody's playing their ass off. Everybody's playing long minutes. I mean, like, come on. You gotta
Yeah, they doing their thing, but they gotta get past Boston. They can't let up right now. They gotta play like them first two games and play the next two games that they can sweep Boston right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're the one telling me that they can't win in the Garden, and now you're saying they can sweep them. So what is it?
But I'm saying, since New York teams haven't won nothing in a long time. So
We know all too well.
We actually do this for a living. Yeah, Gerald, we've seen a lot of bad
sports. I stopped liking the Knicks since they traded Mark Jackson.
Well, now you can start liking them again.
They should never trade Mark Jackson.
Gerald, you're telling me you're not enjoying this run because the Knicks traded Mark Jackson?
I like the run. I went to Bishop Lockman.
Okay.
I went to Bishop Lockman. I played basketball too. But they, hopefully the Knicks can do something, the Yankees do something, the Mets will do something,
Yeah. They ain't done nothing.
But the Knicks got to play some more D. They got to play defense, and they stop Tatum and other dark-skinned dude.
Yeah. Gerald, you sound like a guy who hangs out at a coffee shop with his buddies. Is that true?
Oh, I had a little sip today, but the Knicks got to play some D.
Doesn't he sound like a thanks, Gerald? Doesn't he sound like a guy that sits around, talks with his buddies, like, hey, sit down and be like, hey, the Knicks are cursed. They didn't win at the Garden. They didn't do anything. They suck. They traded Mark Jackson.
You remember what I told you like 6:10 this morning, which was 2 hours ago, that last night's game and the game before that reminded me of the 90s Knicks, the 93-94 team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They played 25 playoff games that year. They swept the Nets, and then they had three straight seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times did the Knicks score over 100 points? Three. Or how many times did the other team score over 100 points?
Three.
Right, out of 25 playoff games.
Yeah.
So the Knicks, Gerald, are playing defense. Now, the Celtics are helping because they're not hitting all their shots.
Yeah. Games look a hell of a lot different.
They do, but I think that physical series against Detroit may have been the perfect thing for the Knicks.
go to Randy in the Bronx. What's up, Randy?
How you guys doing? First time caller, long time listener.
Well, thanks, Randy.
In regards to the last caller,
yes,
can he just be happy that the Knicks are up 2-0, coming home with confidence, and at least let's just be happy that the Knicks are up? Even myself, I was going in there, I was happy being up 1-0, at least taking a steal of a win. Saturday is going to be rocking. I have a funny feeling, Knicks in 5. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I mean, at this point, anything is possible, being up 2-0. Of course, the Garden's going to be amazing. I think what this has done is there's, as we talk about fan activation and how it happens, right? There are lots of fan-activated people that are come out of the woodwork that are so happy that the Knicks are playing well, and they remember the 90s, and they kind of went away when the Knicks were terrible and are back, and they're loving it.
Yeah.
And then there's others. Like, was it Gerald?
Yeah, Gerald.
Something like Gerald, who's like, hadn't thought about the Knicks in years. He's pissed off they traded Mark Jackson. Now the Knicks are on the tip of everybody's tongue. And the Knicks are the conversation with his friends. And the Knicks are the conversation here. And he's like, screw them.
And Mark Jackson was a great point guard for the Knicks, but he wasn't Walt Frazier.
Right.
We finally got the point guard that is right there with Walt. And if he continues to go on to have a career and ultimately get a championship here, that would be Jalen Brunson, and everybody should be happy with that.
Yeah.
Everybody should be looking at that guy with total respect.
I just think that when a team like this that hasn't been good in a long time, we're seeing a resurgence over the last couple of years. You get everybody coming out of the woodwork, positive, negative.
Well, so, you know, it was like the run for the Giants in 2007, because that year everybody wanted Eli and Tom Coughlin out of here, right in the middle of that year. Get rid of him, and that was the first year that Craig and I started. And I remember as they were going into the playoffs, you know, I told Craig that they were going to win on the road, and that's why he had to do the speedo across the Brooklyn Bridge,
like Paul Pierce in his robe,
right? Exactly. So all of a sudden it was like, man, they went all the way to the freaking Super Bowl and they beat the mighty Patriots, which was nobody thought that could happen, nobody, especially in the middle of that season when everybody was dumping on Coughlin and Eli Manning.
Well, now Knicks fans are believing.
And guess who they were dumping on? They were dumping on Carl Anthony Towns.
Well,
he's
soft.
They were dumping on Mikal Bridges. He can't shoot. They were dumping on this guy. That guy's, I mean, like, and now here we are. They're up 2-0 against the defending world champions. It's amazing.
It is amazing. So, Gerald, take a step back. Forget about Mark Jackson.
And enjoy the run, man. Enjoy the run. One
jump
possession,
right in.
One quarter, one half, one game. Keep it simple.
Start bing-bonging, Gerald.
Yes.
Embrace it. Jason's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, how you guys doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, what's up, Jason? What do we got?
All right, I got some theories on Mitchell Robinson. I love the fact that this guy is playing great defense. He's doing put-back dunks. They got to do something about the foul shooting. Wilt Chamberlain shot underhand for one season. It increased his foul percentage 11 points. I think Mitchell should think about it. Get a company to sponsor it. Let's go.
Company.
If he doesn't want to do that...
What company would sponsor his terrible free throws?
Oh, my God. I feel bad for him,
Granny
actually.
Granny Smith Apples.
Oh,
you got any company with low prices, you know, he's got the ball down low. I don't know, something.
I don't think you need a sponsor.
That's pretty funny, but, you know, he's not going to change anything right now. This would be something that he would have to work on in the offseason. It's too late. It's... they're all in right now. Everybody knows. And I feel bad for him because that air ball last night, that was rough on. You could just see his body language was just awful.
Thank God they won the game because people would be talking about that this morning a hell of a lot more. Yeah, it's embarrassing for him. And as far as, like, changing it in the offseason, whatever, he can't get any worse. So, like, if you want to try something new, then try something new. You can't be worse than he is. It's impossible.
Remember we were talking yesterday about, you know, trying to throw him some passes. I mean, look. He's not a great receiver of the ball either. Mm. So, you know, up above the rim, he can go up and he can dunk it. So it's, you know, it's an alley-oop, which he's very good at. He's good at putbacks, like the last caller said. But you got to be understanding that if you're his teammate, what he's capable of and what he is incapable of. You know, what's above his pay grade. You know, and usually pick and rolls, bounce passes, things like that, he's not very good at. He's a little awkward at it. But if you put it above the rim, you know, he'll go and get it. And he'll go make plays with it. So just got to put him in the right spot, which the last couple games, you know, he's had some interesting offensive possessions. But defensively, he's exactly what he needs to be. And he needs to be playing more minutes. And that's what's happening here.
keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Couple more things on Knicks Celtics to start this hour. Obviously, game three coming up tomorrow afternoon. So Paul Pierce promised to walk to work out in L.A. if the Celtics lost game two, which, of course, they did. So he did, or at least part of it. Now, I don't know if it was the full 20 miles. He claims it was, though he didn't do it barefoot, which was part of the promise. Anyway, here he was arriving after the said 20-mile journey.
Damn, dog. I made it, y'all. We made it, y'all. We made it. Oh, my God.
All right, great. Quickly realizes he better be more careful with what he says moving forward, but then immediately, I think, props himself up a bit with a nice pat on the back.
I'm never doing this again, y'all. I ain't never put no bet like this ever again.
Describe how you feel in one word.
You know what? I feel like I accomplished something great, dog. That was an accomplishment at the end of the day. Like, not everybody had a mental, you know, capacity to like, really do it. I got up at 5.
You got up at 5. Come on. We're on the air at 5.
Yeah, the only problem is he didn't really. I mean, he did walk it, I guess. Yeah. But when you say you're going to be barefoot in a robe, right. I expect you to be barefoot and not have pants on under your robe.
Yeah, he's got the undershirt on there.
Yeah.
Keyshawn along the way. You know Kevin what, Garnett along the way.
To defend him, you cannot walk barefoot outside the city somewhere.
I did say that to Al this morning.
I agree with you, but he said it.
Right.
I didn't. Yeah. That he said he was going to do it barefoot wearing a robe. He's in sneakers and he's got jeans on.
And I felt like on. He posted his steps for the day and it was like 33,000. I felt like it was that
for
was
20
low.
Miles.
I felt that was low.
Like, do you get your steps on the golf course?
No, you know what?
13,000 for 18, right? That's got at least a few miles.
No, I think it's like 6 miles.
Okay.
I just know at Disney we got to like 24,000.
Yeah, right. It's close enough. It's in the ballpark.
Yeah, it might be about right.
Because if it's 6 miles on the golf course, multiply that by 3. Yeah. If you're 13,
that's 39. It's a little light, but maybe it wasn't a full 20. Maybe he did 17 miles, whatever it was.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Either way, he partially did it.
Right. Just to further how the Celtics fans and some former Celtics players, the Boston sports market in general, kind of all tough to take, I give you Felger and Maz on 98.5 Sports Hub from yesterday, downgrading the Knicks and their 2-0 series lead.
I'm not taking him seriously.
I'm still not taking it seriously.
No, me either. I still think the Celtics are winning this series.
If I had to put money, that's where I'd bet it. I'd take the odds and bet the Celtics for sure. And the Knicks still blow.
All right. I don't know which voice that is. Gio, you might know better.
That is really matter, Tony Maserati.
All right. Well, he didn't stop there.
Don't let the Celtics off the hook by saying, whoa, well, the Knicks are... No, they're trash. You felt they were trash 5 days ago? You thought they were trash 5 weeks ago? You thought they were trash 5 months ago, 5 years ago? Because you know why? They're trash. They're garbage.
Pretty strong. We'll see how that
actually,
looks.
Actually, I'm not sure which one of those.
It doesn't matter.
They did win 51 games.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Talk radio, man. You know, they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw Funhouse post that. I thought he liked those guys, and he was ripping the hell out
of
them.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he's a Knicks fan. Yeah, probably what it is.
Well, we'll see how it looks tomorrow, 3:30, at what should be a raucous Madison Square Garden. And the Knicks fans certainly traveled well to Boston, as we saw and evidenced by this video and the audio, which we'll hear, which went viral as well. So an usher up in Boston after the game can't get the Knicks fans to exit their seats. She starts to panic and would plead for some assistance along the way. Trying to wave down security with her little handheld placard there, she wipes out and knocks over a row of the temporaries.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah. Fell right over them.
The poor thing.
So she gets up. She starts pointing at the group she wants removed, and the Knicks fan responded with this chant, basically right in her face.
He's feeling himself. The Knicks fan's feeling himself.
Nothing physical, no cursing.
Was it vulgar?
No, yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. Nice group
there. The guy that was vulgar was during the post-game show with Brian Scalabrine the other night, where he was dropping F-bombs very audible. You heard it.
These things do happen.
Oh, they do.
We know. Something tells me it won't be the same the other way around for the Celtic fans at MSG, but we'll see. That video and the audio we just heard had Dave Portnoy all worked up, so he came out with this.
I've forgotten how despicable Knicks fans are. They've been irrelevant for 100 years, haven't mattered, haven't thought about them. They win one preseason game, bing bong, they do this. But now to watch them celebrate in our building and go crazy, Knicks in four, reminds me of how much I hate them. So every member of the Celts, lose to anybody else, you cannot lose to New York. You can't.
Sounds a little rattled.
All right, CeeLo, let's hear the Pope stuff.
So that's a big theme from yesterday, obviously. Pope Leo, Villanova grad, so social media was all over that. The Knicks have God on their side now, low-hanging fruit. Too much for our own Evan Roberts, so he went a little deeper with a roots connection between Pope Leo and Jalen Brunson.
Everyone's talking about the Villanova stuff, that's obvious. But let's go deeper. He grew up in Chicago!
I know.
And Jalen went to high school, basically, in Chicago.
Yeah, but...
Oh, my God.
He likely...
No, I'm sorry. No, I shouldn't have mentioned the Lord's name, but oh, my goodness.
All right, so you have that.
And they both have buttholes.
Yeah, right. Amazing. And two eyes. Wow. Meantime, Al this morning on the warm-up show was saying how this would have been like peak Mike and the Mad Dog content back in the day. They would have been all over it. Well, we recently played back the audio of Mike solo.
They went for an older Pope.
Yes. So just a little refresher beyond what Gio just said when Pope Francis was named 12 years ago, give or take.
The Cardinal from Argentina. Okay, so the Cardinal from Argentina, 76-year-old Pope. So they went for an older Pope. Let's see if I get a little bio on him as to what kind of Pope we're talking about.
And that was like a 90-minute to 2-hour process on Mike's show that day, just on his own.
Did he do one yesterday?
That. I don't know, but flash forward to yesterday, Dog opened his radio show with not Knicks Celtics game 2, but instead a live guest, a former priest turned Dog's bookie. Yes, you heard that right. Who he affectionately refers to regularly on the show as the fat guy in Rapid, and decided he needed his on-air expertise to break down the selection of Pope Leo.
With Rob Kegren here on the new Pope today, this is a fascinating development. He's 69 years of age, which is Pope Francis is 76. He's 69. So they went younger. They do that consciously or not consciously, just the way it worked out. How about that?
So he's wrapped up. He's wrapped up in the age as well. Mike focused on it being an older pope. Dog's focusing on a younger Pope Leo. And before we hear a little bit more of this Q&A, Dog was nice enough to give Rob's credentials along with a little transparency as well.
Rob Kegman, of course, he's our pal. Vatican, lived there for 5 years. He was a Catholic priest for a long period of time. Defrocked, and then of course ended up in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Defrocked. I mean, you know he had the finger in the air when he said that.
Defrocked. Isn't that classic? It's the third thing. Yeah. It's always the third thing. He's a priest. He's been out there at the Vatican. Defrocked. Became a bookie.
Oh, man. All right. So there was this went on and on. He had him on for a while. Quite a few angles. I'll give you some of the highlights here. So here he is now after Pope Leo's named. Okay, he goes through the process. So now what's it like for him on the other side of this with the other cardinals who were not selected, I guess?
All right. Now, does this prevost, does he walk in here owing a debt of gratitude? Sort of like Harry Truman. He's the president. He owes a debt of gratitude to that Democratic machine that got him the position. Does he owe a sort of debt of gratitude to these group of cardinals that got him this post? Or does he walk in here completely independent in his role? How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
Now, in these clips, you're not going to hear much from Rob. It's really just about Dog.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that angle. And then how about the fact that this guy's an American, which, of course, we've not seen before. How does that play overseas?
How do the European Roman Catholic feel about this? How do the Italians feel about this hire? Are they annoyed? How are they in the square today? Do they love this pope already? Let me get a little sense on that. Do they have a little feel, a little bias against him because he is from Chicago? How about that aspect of this decision?
It almost sounds like he's intentionally parodying all of this. But knowing Dog, you know, it's not.
Of course. And he's doing that thing. He's one of the greats of all time. I idolized him, but like, it drives me nuts when guys ask questions and give 15 answers for a guy to pick from.
Yeah.
Why don't you just ask the question?
How about that? Let me hear.
Yeah, like, let me hear a little bit. Do they like him? Do they not like him? Do they feel like somewhere in the middle? Are they pissed off? How do the Italians feel about this? Are they happy? Are they not happy? Just be like, how is this going over with the European Catholics?
Oh,
bang.
Man. Let me give you two more before I go. This one, trying to get to the bottom of the process and how all this works with the conclave and everything and the ultimate selection at the end.
Two last quickies. When do you think he was told? Last night? This morning at breakfast? An hour and a half ago? When did he know he got the job?
The job. When did he get the job? And then last thing in here about him being a Chicago native. Of course, he's got to have the baseball tie-in. Is it Cubs? Is it White Sox? You do hear from Rob a little bit here along the way.
I don't know what part of Chicago he grew up in, but I'm almost positive it said Cubs, not White Sox.
So in other words, then, you're telling me in 1969 he was 14 years of age, and he lived through the Cubbies blowing an 8.5 game lead. That's what you're telling me against the Mets? Is that true?
He absolutely did. Now, was he watching it like you would have been watching it? Probably not, but he certainly, the story definitely said that he was a Cubs fan growing up.
How about that? Wow.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. He's a piece of work.
He is. Yes, he is.
You never know what you're going to get. On when you think he's going to zig, he zags.
He had a bookie who was a priest.
Defrocked.
Who spent time at the Vatican.
5 years. Yeah.
And was defrocked.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is a defrocking, can you make your own choice to defrock, or does a defrocking?
No, that's usually in disgrace.
For no, okay.
I mean, the guy became a bookie. I think
was he a bookie at the Vatican?
Maybe.
Or you got defrocked? Oh, my God. So let me hear, did you bet on this pope? Did you win this one? Because I heard the Filipino was the favorite. I think you could have gotten plus 750 on the Chicago pope. Someone did actually. Boomer sent us a thing from Poly Market.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he did. Was this yesterday while he was sitting through an airport delay?
Yes.
Of course.
And it was. Let's see. Man. Someone won $64,000.
Oh, was that the $1,000 bet?
$1,000 bet on Provost for Pope, or Prevost for Pope, and made $64,000.
That's a pretty good day.
I mean, that's a great day.
Must be nice to have that kind of cash.
Probably got a tip, though. Right? There's going to be another cardinal was defrocked.
Yeah, because from the fat guy in Rapid. That's where his tip came from.
God, unbelievable.
I never knew all these dudes have talked about this guy. I never knew he was a former priest. So we learned that yesterday.
What a life.
Well, we always talk about having different lives within your life. This guy has certainly done that.
Yeah. He's lived quite a bit.
All right, CeeLo. There's a guy on the line we're going to take coming up next because he's from Mastic Beach. We're actually just talking about Mastic Beach this morning, Al. If you remember, I was going through towns on Long Island, and he's got a Cinco to Five-O for Al. So I want to hear this on this Feel Good Friday. Of course, plenty of Knicks talk as Game 3 is coming up on Saturday at 3:30.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We have some breaking NFL news. A juicy NFL trade is not local, but it's definitely juicy. A big-name wide receiver changing teams, changing conferences, as the Pittsburgh Steelers are trading George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys for draft pick compensation we have not seen yet. Here we go. George Pickens on the move. This guy must be a real pain in the ass. The Steelers have dealt with a lot of guys who have given them issues, whether it be Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, who they offered a second contract to, or Emmanuel Sanders. Actually, Sanders was okay. Mike Wallace. They've dealt with a lot of this. Ben through his issues. So George Pickens doesn't make it through his rookie contract and is gone now to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, boy.
So he was drafted the same draft as Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, right?
I think so, yes.
Right, he's a first-round pick, too. Mm-hmm. So that means they're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. I don't know how that, whether or not they're going to do that or not. But, man, this is like adding a match to gasoline. So you got CeeDee Lamb, who's going to want his catches. As you heard Malik Nabers basically open the curtain and let you in understand where a wide receiver is coming from. And, you know, all these guys are on text threads. They're all buddies, you know, so they all know what everybody else is doing. They all want to be the leading wide receiver, which is really, it's great. It's a great incentive. But you're adding a guy who obviously Pittsburgh said, you know, we got to get this guy out of the locker room. He's a problem for whoever's playing quarterback. And right now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going there. I don't know if they're retooling their offense to fit Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there's another wide receiver, Keenan Allen, that's out there.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson just unretired. Yeah. Related
but,
news.
But, you know, Keenan Allen, there are a couple guys that are out there. You know, they're after the May 2nd signings, there's no compensatory draft picks that are signed if they're free agents. You know what I mean? After May 2nd. So, I mean, they may be signing Keenan Allen or something like that. And maybe to get Aaron Rodgers to show up. I don't know. But this is really interesting from a Cowboy perspective because they're trying to match the Eagles. They want more explosive players. This guy can play. You know, I didn't really see the like the relationship with DK Metcalf and him working.
No.
I you know, it's interesting. I wonder if they called CeeDee Lamb and said, "Hey, look, let me just tell you, this is what we're doing, just so you know."
Yeah, I know. They don't do that type of stuff, do they, these days?
They may. I'm not sure.
And what's interesting, Schefter points out, too, that if you remember, Micah Parsons and his agent, David Mugaleta, they had this whole thing with Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones said, like, I don't care about the agent. Agent has nothing to do with this. And then Micah Parsons comes out and says, well, I mean, I love my agent. My agent does have something to do with this. And all these people came to the defense of the agent. Well, guess who George Pickens' agent is?
Same guy.
The same guy. And he's going into the final year of his contract. So, it definitely an interesting one. There was some buzz around him being dealt during the draft. And then when it didn't happen, I was like, okay, they're going to go with DK Metcalf and George Pickens here. And we'll see if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Well, it's interesting because it looks like, I'm trying to think, Micah Parsons needs a new contract.
Yeah.
You know, because he is in the fifth year, so they did obviously pick up his fifth year, but I haven't read about an extension, so he's going to get a massive extension here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean,
that's coming.
They've been talking about it, but it hasn't happened yet.
So the question is do they do, well, they're not going to give him, if they have the fifth year option on, they're not giving him a contract extension. They want to see what he's like. They want to see if he can play. They want to see if he's going to be a nice compliment to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, I can't imagine that they're not going to give him a contract extension. I can't even imagine them picking up his fifth year option.
I also kind of have to see what they gave up because that would give me more of an indication of how serious they are in keeping him. But CeeDee Lamb posted a meme last night that people didn't understand what it was, and now they understand what it is.
And what's the meme? What did he put out there?
It's a Simpsons character that's waving.
Okay.
How would you interpret that?
Hello or goodbye? I don't know. Either hello or goodbye.
I mean, I guess it would be hello. I mean, it seems like that is something that is not too, like, it doesn't seem like he's mad about it.
Well, the thing is that CD needs another player that's going to be an explosive player on the field, not in the locker room, not off the field, not bitching about not getting balls thrown his way, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I think this is the best option for them to try to counteract what the Eagles have and makes it very interesting for the Giant defense.
So the compensation is now out there. Ian Rappaport said it's expected to be centered around a third-round pick and a late-round pick swap. So essentially, the Cowboys traded a third-round pick for George Pickens.
Yeah, and they'll move up in the sixth or seventh round. They'll switch.
Yeah.
Assuming the Steelers have the better of the two picks.
Yeah.
Maybe they do right now. I don't know.
I mean, you want to talk about just adding the combustible things to an already combustible situation. I mean, George Pickens to the Cowboys when you got Micah Parsons in a contract dispute, you got CeeDee Lamb there.
But you have an undisputed team leader and face of the franchise in Dak Prescott. So he's the one that's got to, you know, he'll have to deal with it. That's part of his responsibility is dealing with the players that are in his huddle. And he's got to make sure everybody, not happy, but everybody's respectful and everybody's paying attention and everybody's, you know, pulling for each other. And I know sometimes wide receivers tend to be a little bit more individual because they're 30 yards away from the ball and they're out there and they all want to make plays. but it's up to the quarterback to be the psychologist on the team, making sure that everybody's getting theirs and explains to each individual player this is what he's thinking when he's dropping back and this is where the defense is taking me.
Yeah, I wanted the Aaron Rodgers thing is still, I know people are tired of it, but it's still out there and it's interesting because like did Aaron Rodgers have anything to do with this particular deal? Did he say, hey, I'm thinking about coming, I'll go, but like I can't deal with that Pickens guy. The guy's insane.
No, he doesn't know George Pickens.
Oh, you mean May? He went out and threw with DK Metcalf, didn't throw with George Pickens.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has nothing to do with this. This is all about...
He had a lot to do with the moves that were made here.
This is all about Mike Tomlin and the Rooneys trying to get the locker room straight and making sure everybody's on the same page and they're following the Steeler way. Like, the Steeler way is kind of interesting. I mean, like, you know, they got rid of Plaxico Burress early.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, they'll you know... Let guys go. They'll give them one contract. They're not going to give them a second unless, of course, they're great players like Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You know, and Le'Veon Bell. They didn't draft them in the first round. They basically got them for next to nothing.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick, and Antonio Brown was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he fell in the draft because of other issues. And they said, okay, we'll give him a shot. Let's see what happens. And he turned out to be a great player for them.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I bring up the Rodgers thing is remember when he was coming here to the Jets, I mean, all the moves that were made to appease him.
I don't think he's in that situation anymore to be able to appease him. That's not what the Steelers are doing.
They have nothing. They got Mason Rudolph as a quarterback. They're desperate. They want to compete next year.
They drafted Will Howard. He's not going to be the starter, but I'll tell you, Will Howard.
Seventh round picked. He's not going to. They want to compete next year. Don't they?
Yeah, that's why, again, the owner said they believe that Aaron Rodgers is coming his way. And, you know, maybe it's Keenan Allen who will fill the void. Maybe they feel like one of their young wide receivers is ready to take the next step.
Did they draft one?
You know, they are a team that understands wide receivers better than most.
Yeah, they've drafted a ton of really good wide receivers over the years. Steelers draft round one, defensive tackle, round three, running back, round four, linebacker.
I mean, they still have Robert Woods on the roster. They have Scotty Miller on the roster.
They did not draft a wide receiver this year. So they're, this is an interesting one for sure. I mean, the Cowboys fans got to be excited, though. It's only a third-round pick, and this guy's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And if he figures it out and him and CeeDee Lamb become close friends and, you know, everything is kumbaya there, I mean, the Cowboy fans should be fired up. I mean, that's massive talent there. These are two really – I mean, you don't really see that, you know, two talented wide receivers like that on the same team. You got a couple of – I mean, you got the Bengals. Maybe you say Jefferson and Addison in Minnesota. But this is the, you know, 1-2 punch here, man. This could be the best in the NFL as far as wide receivers.
It could be.
I mean,
depending on if this kid is going to be, you know, he's going to fall in line and be a good teammate. That's the thing. I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, if you want to be an individual athlete, you want to be all by yourself and it's all about you and your brand, go play tennis or go play golf.
I don't understand why the Giants didn't learn from last year. So the biggest issue that the Giants had throughout the entire year was Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, and then the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, and Saquon being amazing, and they gave him a new contract, and was hurling guys backwards and doing all sorts of stuff. And the clip kept coming up of John Mara and Joe Shane's office, and I got trouble sleeping. And then the whole deal, right? So that's just followed them around forever. So much so that there's not going to be and wasn't a Hard Knocks off season this off season. It's not going to happen again because it was so embarrassing for the Giants. So what is going on right now? There's another video that could blow up in their face. Not as bad as the Saquon thing, but there's just no point. So there were reports that after the draft and right before the draft that the Giants had wanted to trade up to get Cam Ward, and they had tried to do it, and they put a package out there. Some of the reporters even put the details of the package out there, what they were going to trade up to get Cam Ward, and obviously they loved him enough, and if they had lost to the Indianapolis Colts late in the season, they would have drafted Cam Ward. So now this video comes out of draft night, and the Titans are on the clock with the number one overall pick, and Joe Shane calls up Mike Borgonzi, the GM of the Titans, And he's like, hey. And he's laughing because he knows he's not going to trade the pick. But he's like, hey, you know what? I'm just trying one more time. I figured you'd think it was me. And although this felt like a joke, you could tell, though, that the joke was that Joe Shane had been calling him a ton to try to get this number one overall pick. And he's even calling him when he's on the clock. And he knows that they're not going to trade him the pick because they want Cam Ward. So am I crazy to think that if Abdul Carter sees this, he's like, wait, you guys would have taken Cam Ward over me. You were going to trade up to get him and not take me? Or Jackson Dart, who's like, I thought I was the guy you liked the most. I mean, you traded back into the first round to get me, and you're telling me you like Cam Ward better?
I don't think you're crazy to think that, but I would say if those guys thought that, grow a set. I mean, when you've got a guy who is universally thought of as the number one overall pick at that specific position, to me, it is what it. It shouldn't be an issue. It just shouldn't be because they're doing their due diligence. They tried to get the number one pick to get the player that everybody and their brother believes is the difference making quarterback in this draft. As much as you might love Jackson Dart or not, and then if you're Abdul Carter, if you're going to be insulted about being the third overall pick, that's on you.
Well, I know it's not so much being insulted as a number three overall pick as it is like, oh, I mean, I thought that we were like, this was it. Like, you loved me so much that even if you had the number one overall pick, you would have selected me. And these guys, you know how they are, especially the young players now and the money that they get paid in college and how much they think of themselves. And I'm sure it's going to ding them a little bit, especially if you're Jackson Dart, who probably thinks, hey, I should have been taken number one overall. I'm better than Cam Ward. That's what these guys think.
Well, they should think that. They're all amazing talents, and they probably all believe that they could have been the number one pick. You say the same thing about Travis Hunter easily, because how many people came out in this new term that we use these days, he's a generational talent. I'm sure he is. Great. He can play both ways. We'll see what he does. But I also think when you're looking at the draft and where you are a top, I mean, they're both first-round picks. Carter's third overall. If you're going to be upset over it, then you don't got the right guy. I mean, honestly, just go out and prove yourself, do great things, and you will make more money than you've ever envisioned.
Yeah, but then again, you also hear about these chip on the shoulders. Like you say, if this guy's upset about it, then you don't have the right guy. But there's been many guys who have used that. I got passed on, or the team didn't want me, and
right,
whatever.
But that could
I got
to the benefit
them wrong.
Of the team, though.
Yeah, so there is that mentality of it. But so if anything, because you know that the Giants liked Jaden Daniels last year,
yeah,
and they couldn't get him, and they like Cam Ward this year. If Cam Ward turns out to be great like Jaden Daniels was in his rookie season, then that'll help the legacy of these two guys when they get fired, like with Ben McAdoo and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's really the only thing.
That is true.
Right? Be like, hey, well, they wanted Jaden Daniels and they wanted Cam Ward, but Tommy DeVito won some games, knocked him out of the top three of that one draft, and then they beat the frickin' Indianapolis Colts, who actually had something to play for that game, with Drew Lock as the quarterback, and knocked them down to three.
Here's what I do know. Going into this season, as opposed to where we were at last season, last year we absolutely went into the season not sure if they were going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, unless this team goes 0-17, I just don't see them as being that bad of a football team this year. And I think defensively they are going to be really good. I do. And I think if you get Jackson Dart in middle to the back end of the season, if they look like a professional football team that actually can score touchdowns, I don't think they're doing anything at the top with these two, because you got to give them a chance now with the quarterback, because otherwise, if not, all you're doing is repeating the same issues that you have done by having a quarterback, bringing in another coach, another issue, and now you're changing the system. And with John Mara, we threw the skid up 18 different ways. I actually think these guys are locked up for at least the next two seasons until you see a good sample size of Jackson Dart and what they can be.
And I know that the schedule, you never know how it's going to work out. There could be a big injury to a team, but sometimes the good teams are the good teams, and the bad teams are the bad teams, and it works out. But it's still a tough thing to evaluate. However, they are the worst team in the division.
But a very good division, though, at the same time. I mean, they are fourth out of four as the season begins. There's no disagreement there, but you're also talking about the defending Super Bowl champions. You're talking about the team that they beat in the NFC Championship game to go win the Super Bowl, and another team in the Cowboys who are near and dear to me, as you know, who had a down year and Dak missed most of the season. And if you go back a year prior, won 12 games.
So yeah. it's a difficult
but you're making
spot
my,
to be in.
You're making my point even more, the fact that they're not going to beat these guys.
But it can look different. And that's what it has to be. It has to look different. What we sat here for the last couple of years essentially saying, can you score a touchdown? Mm-hmm. They were boring. They kicked field goals and they never put the ball in the end zone. If this team this year, even if they are a 6-win team or a 7-win team, but if they're losing games 31-27, if they're losing games, you know, 17-16, and it's competitive, and you feel like you've got a game in the fourth, we sat there, you were on the sidelines in that October game at MetLife Stadium where the place was empty in the fourth quarter. If it looks like real professional NFL football, it's different.
Okay, but if they're still losing all these games and are a 4-win team or a 3-win team, even if they're close in the fourth quarters in these games, at some point that gets tired because they've been so bad. And
well, that's when you change to Jackson Dart.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, maybe you'd have to get them fired up. But think about this. So at home, their home schedule or their home opponents this year, so we don't know the schedule for another week or so. Their home opponents.
I know it's not easy.
The three teams in the division, which we just talked about. Then the Packers, the Vikings, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Niners.
Got the 72 Dolphins in there, too?
I mean, and then, I mean, there are a couple of teams on the road that you feel are winnable games, which are the Raiders, the Saints, and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But then you're also bringing in the Bears, who are supposed to be much better. Obviously, the three teams in the division. I mean, you go to Chicago, mm-hmm. you go to Denver, and you go to Detroit. They could be favored in three games out of all of them. They probably won't because those are road games. They're probably not going to be favored in a single game.
You said Miami's at home, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you said Miami was home.
No. It's
give me the home games again. This is not good.
Dallas, Philly, Washington, right? Green Bay, Minnesota, Kansas City, Chargers, and Niners.
Huh.
Every one of those teams
schedule.
Made it to the playoffs as the
Niners. Well,
the Niners are an
interesting case. They've lost a lot of pieces.
Cowboys,
I would expect them to be good, but you don't know. I mean, you didn't foresee Dak getting injured last year like he did. I mean, I do agree with you on paper, and if you're going to base it on what Vegas says week to week, that sounds like a team that's going to go 1-16. Mm. That having been said, they'll have chances to win games. I really do think they're going to have chances to win games. And if they can, and this was my take last year too, and this was before Abdul Carter, and it was almost like put me on repeat this summer going into the year. If they can defensively disrupt quarterbacks, and that's why you drafted Abdul Carter now to join him with Thibodeau and Brian Burns, and Burns getting all the money. If those three and Dexter Lawrence, I mean, think of those four I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you can disrupt the quarterback like they did against Tom Brady and the Patriots, they should be good enough defensively to keep them in games to have chances to win. They should be. Doesn't mean they're going to go 12-5. I'm not saying that. But they should win 5, 6, 7 games. If not, what is all this about defensively? Are they going to swing and miss? Is Abdul Carter going to be Vernon Golston or is he going to be LT?
I think he'll be pretty good. It's going to be tough. There's still, I think we hyper-focus on some of these guys and these teams, and we forget how good everybody else is around them. I mean, if you look at the over-under totals, they are tied for the lowest total
in
the NFL for wins.
Which is what? You're going to be 4.5? 5.5?
5.5. And they're tied with the Jets, the Titans, and the Browns.
Well, those are not great franchises.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, and I will put my money on it, I will take the over on them.
Okay.
I will take the over on them.
Yeah, I could never with either one of those teams until I actually saw them do it.
I don't know what I would do with the Jets. I really don't, because I don't know what Justin Fields is. He had his last year in Chicago, wasn't terrible. He did go 4-2 at the Steelers last year. First year for Aaron Glenn. I don't know what the Jets are, and I don't know what the Giants are either, but at least I do feel like with the Giants, I see a blueprint. And I do think they have a chance to win games that on paper look like they shouldn't. I'm gonna take them for the over. 6 wins.
One more thing I wanted to run by here since we're talking NFL. No, this is different. It's not crapping on the two local teams because that just gets tired after the while. We've been doing it for I don't know how many years in a row.
Yeah.
So they do the CBSSports.com does, let's see, it's a top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL over the next 5 years? How would they? Who would they take? Over
Daniels,
the next?
Burrow, Mahomes. Those three got to be there. No.
So Daniels is one. Burrow is three.
No, not Mahomes.
They put Mahomes at number six over the next 5 years.
Wow, no kidding.
They put Josh Allen number five.
Okay. That was probably where I was going to go next. They're not throwing a Cam Ward in there already, are
no.
they?
No. Jalen Hurts, two.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, four.
I mean, that's not a bad line. I mean, that's about right.
So I'll come back to the Giants for just 1 second.
Yeah, I know.
Number one, Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Number two, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, got to see them 2-2 every year.
Yeah, but you got Jackson Dart, so we'll see how that works out
mm-hmm.
for you.
Better hope so.
Big, big plans for the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. That's Friday, May 23rd. The kickoff to summer is happening again. We're throwing one of the biggest parties of the year. We want you there. So come hang with us at WFAN's kickoff to summer happening Friday, May 23rd at 6 a.m. live from DJs on Ocean Avenue in Belmar. We'll get your Memorial Day weekend started right, featuring our special guest, country music star and Red Street Records artist Chris Lane, who will be performing live for you directly following the show. So this, of course, is a free event. It's always been a free event. It's going to be a free concert as well. So you're going to see Chris Lane starting at 11 a.m. because we're going to go to 11. So we're changing this up a little bit. Al and Jerry are going to start at 6 a.m. with the warm-up show. So if you show up there a little bit earlier than that, they're not going to be on the air until 6 a.m. 6 to 7 will be the warm-up show. Then our show starts, Boomer and Geo, 7 to 11. And then right after the show, Chris Lane performs live at 11 a.m. So Chris Lane's had a number of number one hits. He's actually married to one of the people in The Bachelorette, who's become very famous because of that as well.
You didn't tell me about the Chris Lane part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. So now it is time to celebrate Cinco de Mayo in our kickoff to summer show.
All right, fine. You got me. I mean, because it's kickoff to summer, we're announcing it, and we just got to celebrate. That's what we do. So here we go, 8:03 in the morning.
Cheers.
It's kickoff to summer 2025. We'll see you there, hopefully. Here we go. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a little kickstart your day right there.
Woo! All right, man, nice. Oh, man.
I like it. Look at me handing out the chicken wings.
Yeah. Damn right. So this is going to be the biggest one ever, in my opinion, because we're pushing it back a little bit, and we're going to have Chris Lane perform at 11 a.m. And like I said, all free. You get a free concert there. Right there at DJ's after
that
the show.
That is going to be great. I had no idea. We just took it up a notch.
Yeah, kicked it up a notch.
Yes, we did.
Damn right we did. So, this is always one of our favorite days of the year. And it'll be also one.
Actually, the day before is going to be even more of a favorite day of the year.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. It is a good one. Hey, Al, where are we going to dinner on Thursday night?
Yeah.
Have you decided yet?
I have not.
Okay. Have you narrowed it down?
I have not even narrowed it down.
What about the Rooster?
I've eliminated a number of places based on what they charge for an entree. Definitely happened.
What about Gabriella's?
That is nowhere near really where I am.
Okay. How about where we are? Why don't you come to us?
Because I know it's going to be like, we're getting off the course at 6:40. You know.
You know what? You are so right, and I know this is troublesome to you, and I know it's been bothering you since we said we were going to be playing golf on Thursday. Yes,
but it worked out fine last year. We showed up on time.
Was that last year?
It was Jerry. It was 2 years ago. Jerry was a little late because he had to go home for something. But last year it worked out great.
Jerry's always got something in the way. You know that.
Why don't we just have a private chef at your condo? How about that?
Very tiny. It's just a very small space for a chef to work.
Did you see his table? It's got like two chairs.
That's why I think it'd be perfect. It would be awesome. All of us jammed in there.
I could sit on that canvas couch that he has.
Yeah, I still have that couch.
Man, that thing's got some stains on it, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah. Oh, Whimsy's been up there.
No, never.
She's laying on that right now as we speak.
No, she is not a furniture dog. I don't know. I didn't even have to stop her. She does not go up there.
Do you leave the TV on for Whimsy?
No, I leave CBS FM on for her.
Oh, you do? Okay.
She loves 80s music.
Oh, she does?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That is incredible. Of all the things. Well, it's always a great day that we have. We go down there Thursday. We go out to dinner with the crew, and then Friday, the show. It's going to be awesome this year. So we'll keep pumping up. We'll have the promos running throughout the day on the radio station. Friday, May 23rd, starting with the warm-up show at 6 a.m. Then we're on from 7 to 11 at DJ's on Ocean Avenue. And then Chris Lane, Red Street Records artist, country music star, will be performing at 11 a.m. All right, game one, Knicks-Celtics tonight up in Boston. Let's go to Jeff in Roseland. He's on the fan. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, guys. Jeff from Roseland. I'm a Villanova guy from a long time ago, and I'm hoping that the Villanova three are listening this morning and that they're going to bring all of that grit and fight that they brought to us in 16 and 18. So let's go Knicks.
Yeah, you got it, Jeff. That's exactly what they're going to have to do.
That's what we're looking for, Villanova grit, man.
We got to defend a three-point shot, man.
Can some of that Villanova grit rub off on Carl Anthony Towns?
Well, I hope so. I mean, again, I think he has an opportunity to do something here. This is where, you know, like you think about Juan Soto and Pete Alonso and opportunities and Aaron Judge, and when those opportunities present themselves, more often than not, you want to show up and do what you're supposed to do in those run-producing situations. You know, for Jalen Brunson, he's already answered the call a number of times for the Knicks fan, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Sean Marash is probably sick of us all talking about Jalen Brunson, because we haven't had a goddamn point guard since Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
I mean, we finally have a guy that, you know, can control the team, and maybe he goes a little overboard at times, and I know that we all feel that's a little bit too much ISO ball, but he's the guy that, you know, goes into the middle of the paint, the trees, and gets, you know, fouled and is not afraid to go down there. And that's the grit, I think, that last caller is talking about.
Absolutely. And the Game 3 performance in Detroit that Karl Anthony Towns had, if we see a couple of those in this series, then this will go longer than four or five games, because that will be the key. Also wanted to shout out, by the way, as we just did our kickoff to summer promo, I got a little distracted there with the tequila. We have to thank our sponsors that are sponsoring the kickoff to summer show. Surfside iced tea and vodka. Nielsen, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge. Shop online at nielsendodge.com. Chef IQ. Thank you, Chef IQ. Never under or overcook your food again. Sloman's. The difference is human. Wendy's. Wendy's. It's got to be Wendy's. And Calandra's Bakery. Calandra's Bakery delivering hot bread. Bang! Hot bread.
We getting 19... some hot bread that morning, or what are we doing?
Without
and
a doubt.
Wendy's in the afternoon?
Yeah.
I mean, my
hot
God.
Hot bread. You know what I like? A hot bread, little olive oil, salt and pepper. Dip that bread in. Bang. That's what I like.
I'm a little hot bread and avocado and olive oil.
You know what? Hot bread and anything.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
a three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.